Pandit can come here and teach to us. This is really rare. Alas, that I probably can only come intermittently because my life, unfortunately, has gotten too busy, but it's always a great pleasure for you to come in. I'm going to be listening for a bit, so thank you.
This book is a handbook for meditating monks. So it was written by a monk for the use of monks who practice meditation. And this book was written on the scheme of three steps towards spiritual development. And the first step is morality, and second step is concentration, and the third step, wisdom. So we have gone through chapters on morality, concentration, and some chapters on wisdom too. So the first and second chapters deal with morality, and then the other chapters until the 13th chapter deal with what is called concentration. So in these chapters, the 40 subjects of Samatha meditation or tranquility meditation are treated. And then with the 14th chapter, we come into the realm of what is called understanding or wisdom. And these chapters, chapter 14 to chapter 17, are in preparation for vipassana meditation. So before we practice vipassana meditation, say according to this book, we should understand something about the aggregates, sense bases, faculties, noble truths, and the dependent origination. So in order to go further from the 18th chapter, we will have to be familiar with at least the chapters from chapter 14 to chapter 17, because though the subjects treated in those chapters will be brought to bear upon what will be said in these chapters. And with the 18th chapter begins the real vipassana meditation. So the other chapter, the preceding chapters are just for preparation, like giving you information about these aggregates and so on, which you will contemplate on, or which you will see through the practice of vipassana meditation. And vipassana meditation is described with reference to what is called purity, different stages of purity. And there are seven stages of purity described here. If you look at paragraph 1, then you see the reference back to, I think, chapter 4. Chapter 14, maybe. Yeah. That there are first two purities purity of morals and purity of mind. So purification, or it's called purification. So purification of virtue and purification of consciousness. Purification of virtue means keeping the precepts, not breaking them. And purification of consciousness means the practice of Sukhata meditation until one gets the neighborhood concentration and also the absorption concentration. So these are called purification of consciousness. Here consciousness really means samadhi concentration. And these two purifications are called the roots, or root purification, because they are like roots. On these two roots, the other purification will be built. So the other purifications are what? Paragraph 2. Purification of view, purification by overcoming doubt, purification by knowledge and vision of what is path and what is not path, purification by knowledge and vision of the way, and purification by knowledge and vision. They are called trunk purifications. So altogether there are seven purifications. So the first two purifications are dealt with in the chapters from 1 to 13, and then from 14 to 17 chapters are in preparation for the Vipassana meditation. And now this chapter deals with the purification of view. So this chapter is a description of purification of view. Purification of view really means having right view with regard to aggregates, bases, and so on. So let's say a person practices Vipassana meditation. According, if you follow the order in this book, he will first practice Samatha meditation and try to get jhanas. Or he may not practice Samatha meditation at all, but go direct to Vipassana. So first, defining of mentality materiality. So defining of mentality materiality is explained in this chapter. And defining of mentality materiality really means seeing during meditation mind and matter clearly. So seeing mind not mixed with matter, and matter not mixed with mind. So seeing mind clearly and matter clearly. And that is here called defining of mentality and materiality. So in order to understand, in order to define the mentality and materiality, we need to understand what is mind and what is matter according to Buddha's teachings, and they are described in the chapter, preceding chapters. Chapter 14. What's in our mind? Consciousness and mental states or mental factors are called mind. And matter is, as you know, the physical thing, physical properties in our bodies, as well as out and outside things like tables, chairs, trees, and so on. So first, the paragraph 3 and following describe how a person whose vehicle is serenity, or who practices samatha meditation first, define mind and matter and mind, or mentality and materiality. And here, one who wants to accomplish this, if firstly his vehicle is serenity, that means he practices samatha meditation first and gets jhanas. So for him, he should emerge from any fine material or immaterial jhanas. So you know there are 8 jhanas, right? 4 material and 4 immaterial jhanas. But accepting the base consisting of neither perception nor non-perception, that is the highest of the immaterial jhanas, it is so subtle that it is very difficult for one who first defines mind and matter to be able to define clearly. So it is accepted. So we have altogether 7 jhanas here. So emerging from any of the fine material or immaterial jhanas, except the base consisting of neither perception or non-perception, and he should discern according to characteristic, function, etc., the jhana factors consisting of applied thought and so on. So he entered into the jhanas he has attained, and then he emerges from the jhana, and then take the factors of jhana, like initial application, sustained application, and so on. So take the factors of jhana as the object of vipassana meditation, or takes the other mental factors which accompany the jhanas as the object of vipassana meditation, and he tries to see their characteristic, function, manifestation, and so on. Now, whenever we study a thing in Abhidhamma, we are to understand it with reference to 4 or 3 aspects. The first is characteristic, the second is function, and the third is manifestation, or the mode of manifestation, and the fourth is proximate cause. So, he should contemplate on the factors of jhana or the other mental factors accompanying the factors of jhana with reference to their characteristic, function, and mode of manifestation. When he has done so, all that should be defined as mentality in the sense of bending, because of its bending onto the object. So he contemplates on, or he makes himself aware of these the jhana factors and other mental states, and taking maybe one by one and trying to understand the characteristic and so on of these mental states, and then he defines that this is mentality, this is let's say mind, this belongs to mind, this is mental. And then later on he will go to the matter. So first he defines them as mental, as nama in Pali. The Pali word nama, the literal meaning of the Pali word nama is bending, or bending towards. So nama is that which bends towards the object. So when you pay close attention to the object during meditation, you will, or at least you may, you will come to be aware that mind is like hitting the object or going towards the object. So you dwell upon, say, like a noise outside, and you take the noise as an object, and then you may have some other thoughts, and so your mind is going to that object, and then to another object, and another object, and so on. So mind is that which bends towards the object, and that is why it is called nama in Pali. After defining mentality, he defines materiality or matter. So the fourth paragraph describes that. So then, just as a man by following a snake that he has seen in his house finds his abode, so too this meditator scrutinizes that mentality. He seeks to find out what its occurrence is supported by, and he sees that it is supported by the matter of heart. Now, according to the teachings in the Abhidhamma, every type of consciousness must have a physical basis. See, seeing consciousness has the eye as a physical basis, hearing consciousness has the eye as a physical basis, and then there are some other types of consciousness which have heart as a physical basis. So first he dwells upon the mind, and then following the mind, he discovers or he seeks to find out by what this mind is supported, and then he comes to realize that the heart is the support of the factors of jhana, and then those concomitant with the factors of jhana. After that, he discerns as materiality the primary elements which are the heart support, and the remaining derived kinds of materiality that are the elements as their support. Now, there is a heart base, and heart base is a dependent type of matter, and heart base depends upon the other great primaries. You know, there are four great primaries or four great elements: earth element, water element, fire element, and air element. So the heart base, very very small particle of matter, the heart base depends upon the four great elements. So he discovers these four great elements also, and he defines all that as materiality because it is molested by cold, etc. That means it changes by heat, cold, by hunger, by thirst, by bites of insects, and so on. Now, this is the literal meaning of the word rupa. Now, you see the word rupa in paragraph 4. So, rupa is so called because it is molested, or it changes. It changes with climate, it changes with hunger, it changes with thirst, and so on. So he defines the base of that consciousness as rupa, as matter. So a person whose vehicle is samatha or serenity or tranquility meditation defines first the mental things, the factors of jhana and its concomitants, and then he tries to find the base of these mental states, and then he finds the matter, which is the base of these mental states, and then he defines it as rupa. So during meditation, he first dwells on the mental things, and then from those mental things he goes to material things. So first he defines a nama, and then he defines rupa. That is for a person who has, you know, who has serenity meditation as a vehicle. That means who first practices serenity meditation and gets jhana. Now there are people who do not practice samatha meditation, but just practice pure vipassana meditation. For them, since they have no jhanas to dwell upon, there is another method. So, paragraph 5 and following paragraphs describe his way of contemplating, or his way of defining and mentality and materiality. And also a person whose vehicle is serenity can follow this method too, because it is up to him whether to begin with the mentality first and materiality later, or to take materiality first and mentality later. But for a person whose vehicle is vipassana, he must begin with materiality first and then go to mentality, because materiality or matter is easier to see for him than the mental states or types of consciousness. So one whose vehicle is pure insight, or that same aforesaid, that means the person whose vehicle is serenity, discerns the four elements in brief or in detail in one of the various ways given in the chapter on the definition of the four elements. Now you have to go back to chapter 11. So this is the the method of defining materiality and mentality. Is described in how many ways? Described by way of four elements, and then by way of 18 elements, and then by way of 12 sense bases, by way of aggregates, and then by way of very brief defining. So different ways are given here. So the first is by way of the four great elements. Actually, the heading which we have on page 679, definition based on the four primaries should be here. Should be below paragraph 4. So only from there the definition based on the four primaries begins. And then we have starting with materiality. So here he first dwells on the materiality and not on the mind first. So when the elements have become clear in their correct essential characteristics, firstly in the case of head, hair, originated by karma, they have become plain 10 instances of materiality with the body dagger, thus the four elements, color, odor, flavor, nutritive essence, and life and body sensitivity. Now, you need to be acquainted with the chapters preceding it to fully understand this. When describing the material properties, they are described as being caused by, and we find the causes here, and here too. They are caused by karma, caused by consciousness, caused by temperature, and caused by nutrition. And then these material properties are treated in groups. Say, a group of 8, a group of 9, a group of 10, and so on. And these groups are actually not found in the text. But in the commentaries, we find these, and also in the manual of Abhidharma, so we find material properties treated in groups. So according to these groups, the author is here explaining. So if you're not familiar with those, these passages may be difficult to understand, or maybe confusing. First, although it is said here that it is according to the four great elements, we must understand that when describing the defining of four great elements, the order described is with reference to 32 parts of the body. So we have to go back to 32 parts of the body and remember which part is caused by which. And so There are 32 parts of the body here. Head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, and so on. Until urine, water element. Now, in the book said, head hair originated by karma. Now, head hair is originated by karma, and it is also originated by consciousness, originated by temperature, and originated by nutrition. So it is caused by all four causes. So for the head hair caused by karma, there become plain 10 instances of materiality with the body jagadas, the four elements, color, odor, flavor, nutritive essence, and life, and body sensitivity. And because the sex jagat is present there too, there are another 10, that is, the same 9 with sex instead of body sensitivity. And since the octet with nutritive essence as 8, a long name, that is, the four elements and color, odor, flavor, nutritive essence originated by nutriment, and that originated by temperature, and that originated by consciousness are present there too, there are another 24. So there is a total of 44 instances of materiality in the case of each of the 24 bodily parts of full origination. Now, the causes, if you look at the causes at the bottom of the page, the gorge, dung, pus, urine, they are temperature originated. They are caused by temperature, caused by utu. And then tears, sweat, spittle, snot, they are caused by temperature and consciousness. So they are caused by two causes. And fire that digests, there are four kinds of fire element. And the last one is fire that digests what we eat, drink, and so on. So that fire is karma originated. If you have a good stomach, that means you had a good karma. If you have a good digestion. And then in and out breath. In breath and out breath are consciousness originated. Because breathing is present only in those who those beings that have consciousness. And the rest, the remaining all, are of full origination. So they are caused by all full causes. And then we take head hair, and then since head hair is not in the above four groups, it is caused by full causes. And for head hair caused by karma, and there are a number of material properties. And then for head hair caused by consciousness, a number of properties. And then head hair caused by temperature, and for head hair caused by nutriment, a number of material properties. And so, all together, it's said in the book, how many? 44 instances of materiality in the case of the 24 bodily parts of full origination. So there are altogether 44. But in the case of four, namely sweat, tears, spittle, and snot, which are originated by temperature and by consciousness, there are 16 instances of materiality with the two octets with nutritive essence as 8 in each. Now, they are what we call inseparables. You may remember that word, inseparables. Those material properties which cannot be physically separated, there are always these 8. Even in the smallest particle of an atom, according to Abhidhamma, there are these 8 material properties. The four great elements, the earth element, fire element, water element, fire element, air element, and then color, odor, flavor, and nutritive essence. So these 8 are here called octets with nutritive essence as 8. It's not so long in Pali, but if you translate it into English, it becomes a long name, octets with nutritive essence as 8. So in Pali it is Oja Tamaka. five syllables. So in the case of the four, namely gorge, tongue, pus, and urine, which are originated by temperature, 8 instances of material death. Since they are caused by temperature only, there are only 8 material properties. Become plain in which in each with the octet with nutritive essence as 8, the same inseparables. And this, in the first place, is a method in the case of the 32 bodily aspects. But there are 10 more aspects that become clear when those 32 aspects have become clear. And as regards these, firstly, 9 instances of materiality, that is, the octet with nutritive essence as 8 plus life, become plain in the case of karma born part of heat that digests what is eaten, etc. That means for the fourth of the four fire elements, there are 9. The 8 inseparables and then 1 life principle. So there are 9 there.
What was the 9 again? I'm sorry.
8 inseparables plus life principle. It's called, we call it life principle, jivita.
Thank you.
And likewise, 9 instances of materiality, that is, okay, octet with nutritive essence as 8 plus sound. Here, sound in the case of consciousness born part of air consisting in breaths and out-breaths. In breaths and out-breaths, there are 9 material properties, the 8 inseparables plus sound, and then 33 instances of materiality, that is karma born life energy, and the 3 octets with nutritive essence as 8 in the case of each of the remaining 8 parts that are of full origination. There the 8 separables plus life principle, that is called life energy. And then 3 octets with nutritive essence as 8, that is the 8 inseparables. So 1, 9, and 3 8 inseparables, 9 plus 24 becomes 33. If you cannot count them, don't worry. In actual practice, you need not see all these like mentioned here. It is very difficult, even for those who have studied Abhidhamma. It is not so easy to see them clearly when they practice meditation. They may see just a few of them, not all of them. But here, everything is mentioned in detail. But it does not mean that when you practice vipassana meditation, you must see all of these mentioned here. So, what is important in real practice is to be able to see in your mind clearly what you observe. Say you are making notes or observing. Sometimes mental things and sometimes material things. For example, when you are concentrating on the breath, then you are concentrating on the matter, because breath is air and air is matter. When you are concentrating on your thoughts, then it is on the mind you are dwelling on. So you pay attention to them, and then you try to see them clearly, the breath as breath and your thoughts or your mental states as mental states. So when you can see them clearly without being mixed with any other thing, and then you are said to have got the knowledge of discerning mind and matter. So you need not go through all these, taking the head hair and then trying to find out how many material properties are there in connection with that head hair and so on. But if you can, then you it's it will be good for you, say, to dwell on this and see them clearly. But as I said, the most important thing is first to see them clearly and then to know that mind is the one that goes to the object, and rupa, the matter, is one that does not cognize. So if you see just that, then you are said to have got that knowledge of mind and matter, a knowledge of discerning, a knowledge of discriminating mind and matter. And this knowledge of discerning mind and matter comes not at the beginning of your practice. Before you get to that stage, you have to get enough concentration. So in the beginning, what you are doing is trying to get concentration. So after you get concentration, after your mind can be on the object without being disturbed by mental hindrances, then you will begin to see things clearly. Now, sometimes people, meditators, think that, oh, I can see clearly, I don't need too much concentration. The moment I sit and watch myself, I can see them clearly. But later on, when they come to see really clearly, they said, oh, what I said I saw clearly was nothing. Now, it is real. In reality, it is only now that I see clearly, something like that. So, if you cannot follow all these, then don't worry. So first, he dwell upon the material things in different ways. So after defining the rupa, defining the matter, he tries to define the mind or the mentality. So paragraph 8 described that. Taking all these together under the characteristic of being molested, he sees them as materiality. When he has discerned materiality thus, the immaterial states become plain to him in accordance with the sense doors, that is to say, the 81 kinds of mind consciousness and so on. And here the different types of consciousness are mentioned, and if you remember the chapters on consciousness, and you will easily understand this. And if you don't remember, then don't worry. So in practice, say sometimes you see something and you are aware of that seeing consciousness. You hear something and you are aware of that hearing consciousness. So when you are mindful of seeing consciousness or hearing consciousness, then you are seeing mentality. And you also, you will not fail to see that the consciousness is that which just bends towards the object. That is why it is called nama in Pali. So when watching or when dwelling upon types of consciousness, you do not dwell upon the supramundane types of consciousness, because supramundane types of consciousness and also mental factors and others, whatever is supramundane is not the domain of vipassana. In vipassana, you take only the mundane things as object, simply because you have not experienced yourself the supramundane states. And what you have not experienced, you cannot see clearly. So, in vipassana meditation, we are concerned only with what is mundane and not supramundane. So, the supramundane types of consciousness are excluded from the types of consciousness which are the object of vipassana meditation. So, all these types of consciousness and mental states you define as mentality. So you define materiality first, and then you define mentality. So this is by way of the four great elements. with reference to actually 42 kinds of elements. And then next, paragraph 9, definition based on the 18 elements. Here also, you have to understand first the 18 elements, which are described in the previous chapters. And element of the eye, element of ear, and so on. So with regard to these also, the way of defining is, now when we say the eye element, we do not mean the eyeball. What we mean is the sensitive part in the eye. So the part of the eye where the image strikes. So that sensitive area or sensitive part of the eye is what is called the eye here. So the eyeball is not the eye element here. So here it said, instead of taking the piece of flesh variegated with white and black circles, having length and breadth and fastened in the eye socket with the string of sinew, which the world terms an eye, he defines as eye element, the eye sensitivity of the kind described among the kinds of derived materiality in the description of the aggregates, so in chapter 14. So he defines that as eye element, not the whole eyeball. So something in the eye, maybe some place in the retina where the image strikes and through which we see things. And he does not define as eye element the remaining instances of materiality, which total 53 and so on. So I'll not burden you with finding out the 53 or 43 or 45. And then the next is based on the 12 bases. There are 12 sense bases. If you understand the 18 elements, then 12 bases also you understand. It is another way of describing the realities. When Buddha taught in different ways, and sometimes he taught nama and rupa in 18 elements, and sometimes in 12 bases, and sometimes 5 aggregates, and so on. So following these different ways of treating what we call the ultimate reality, we have different methods here. So we can use any of these methods to contemplate on the mind and matter. So this paragraph 12 is a definition based on the 12 bases. Here also, eye base, ear base, and so on. The eye base is the same as the eye element. So the eye sensitivity only is the eye base and not the eyeball and others. So here he defines as eye base the sensitivity only, leaving out the 53 remaining instances of materiality in the way described for the eye element and so on. And then the next paragraph is definition based on the aggregates. Now it is a little brief, because you have to deal with only 5 aggregates instead of 12 or 18 described earlier. So here, another defines it more briefly than that by means of the aggregates. Now you know the 5 aggregates. What is the first of the 5 aggregates?
Rupa.
Right, yes, rupa. Corporeality, rupa. So that rupa is divided into 27 or 28 material properties, the 4 primary elements, and then 24 depending on it, and they are kala, aura, and so on. Now, there are 28 material properties. And then among them, only the first 18, or here 17, are suitable for comprehension, that is, suitable for meditating on. Although there are 28 material properties, the last 10 are not suitable for comprehension, not suitable for meditation, simply because actually they are just the modes or some aspects of the 18, the first 18. So the first 18 are the real material properties. Real, that is why they are called rupa, rupa. So the real rupa. But in this book, only 17 are meant, right? 17 instances of material that is consisting of the four primacy and so on. That is because it leaves out the hard base. So the others are not suitable for contemplation, and they are a bodily intimation, verbal intimation, the space element and the lightness, malleability, wildiness, growth, continuity, aging and impermanence of materiality. So they are mentioned in the chapter on five aggregates. So the first of if we take material properties as 27, then the first 17. If we take as 28, then the first 18 are suitable for comprehension, and the last 10 are not.